Some veterans bear visible signs of their service. They are missing a limb, or perhaps they have a jagged scar, a certain look in the eye. Others may carry the evidence inside, a pin that's holding a bone together, or a piece of shrapnel in the leg, or perhaps another sort of inner steel. The soul's ally forged in the refinery of adversity. We see many of these people around us today. I used to wonder why James Arness on Gunsmoke always limped. I thought that was a part of the program. It wasn't. It was shrapnel in his leg from a war injury, for he fought in the war. So many people famous and many people that are not so famous yet still carry marks of being a veteran. Except in parades, however, the men and women who have kept America safe have no badge. They have no emblem. You can't tell a vet just by looking. What is a vet? He's a cop on the beat who spent 6 months in Saudi Arabia sweating 2 gallons a day. It was so hot. Making sure the armored personnel carriers didn't run out of gas. He's a barroom loudmouth, dumber than 5 wooden planks, whose overgrown frat boy behavior is outweighed 100 times in the cosmic scales by 4 hours of exquisite bravery near the 38th parallel. She or he may be the nurse who went away one person and fought against futility and went to sleep sobbing every night for 2 solid years. In denying. He is the POW who went away one person and came back another, or didn't come back at all. He is a Quantico drill instructor who has never seen combat but has saved countless lives by turning slouchy, no account rednecks and gang members into Marines and teaching them to watch each other's backs. He is the parade-riding legionnaire who pins on his ribbons and medals with a prosthetic hand. He is the career quartermaster who watches the ribbons and medals pass him by. He is the 3 anonymous heroes in the Tomb of the Unknowns, whose presence at Arlington National Cemetery must forever preserve the memory of all the anonymous heroes whose valor dies unrecognized with them on the battlefield or the ocean's sunless deep. He's the old guy that bags your groceries at the grocery store. He's palsy now, aggravatingly slow, who helped liberate a Nazi death camp and who wishes all day long that his wife were still alive to hold him when those nightmares come. He is an ordinary and yet an extraordinary human being, a person who offered some of his life's most vital years in the service of his country and who sacrificed his ambitions so others would not have to sacrifice theirs. He is a soldier. He is a savior. He is a sword against the darkness. He is nothing more than the finest, greatest testimony on behalf of the finest, greatest nation ever known. So remember, each time you see someone who has served our country, take just a moment to say to them, thank you, the same as those who are serving it now. That's all most people need, and in most cases it will mean more than any medal that they've been awarded or were awarded. These 2 little words mean a lot. Thank you. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we pray for blessings in this assembly of extraordinary men and women who did things most people don't want to do, went to places where some would never want to visit, and lived at length in uncomfortable surroundings we can't even imagine. They did what they did from devotion to their country's freedom, honor, and reputation. They endure difficult service because they are exceptional people, a cut above the rest of us who live safe, comfortable lives. We pray that you bless them mightily, Lord. Lavish on them now abundant comforts and pleasures. They often have gone without. We pray that our country will always honor their service, expressing frequently profuse gratitude for their service to keep us safe and free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It's not CBS or NBC, ABC or CNN that's given us the freedom of the press. We know that it's not Larry Flint, Ted Kennedy or Jesse Jackson giving us the freedom to verbally express.
Not the campus organizers or all the demonstrations giving us the freedoms to march, freely march and disagree.
Oh, can't you see? It has always been the soldier who has made the sacrifice.
Somewhere there's a soldier, and he's reading a love letter from his wife, and she is telling him how she feels so all alone. And somewhere there's a mom and dad who cry late in the night for a son who won't be coming home, a son who gave his life. Freedom isn't free.
Every year I search for a new song for this day, and I came upon that one yesterday. Beautiful song, beautiful message, and I hope that you enjoyed it very much. What is a good soldier? Well, in our passage that Matt read to you today, he talked about a good soldier of the cross. And a good soldier becomes a good veteran of the cross, just as a good soldier in the armed forces becomes a veteran of the armed forces in which he served and of our country. We have two flags on either side of me today. On my right side is the American flag, and on my left side is the Christian flag. Now, let's look at the parallels between the soldiers of these flags. The soldier that follows that flag there and defends that flag does so now voluntarily. We have an all-volunteer force, no longer the draft. Whoever serves that flag there does so voluntarily. Nobody holds a gun to him. Nobody says, you've got to go in. They go in of their own volition, and God bless them for doing that. God bless them. I have a great deal of respect for them doing that voluntarily. The same is true of this flag, which denotes the Lord Jesus Christ. The Christian flag stands for the Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever follows this flag and the Savior for who it stands does so voluntarily. Christ doesn't make you become a Christian. He doesn't hold a gun to you either. He doesn't force you to become a Christian. His arms are open wide, and he says, if you wish, you may follow me. And you do so voluntarily. You do that because you want to. You have that desire in your heart. So good soldiers of both these flags do so voluntarily. They do so with complete faith. Now, whoever follows the flag of the United States of America and defends that flag does so with faith that the country is going to take care of them. The government is going to give them ammunition if they need it, or food when they need it, or the clothes and armor to wear, or whatever it needs that they might have on the battlefields in which they go. The people who follow Christ of this flag have complete faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they depend on him to meet their needs, to meet the things that they have in their life that they can't figure out what to do or how to do or how to solve it. They trust in him. They have faith in him that he will provide, and that he does provide them each day of their life for the things that they need. Not necessarily that they want, but that they need. And they are good soldiers of that cross, just as they're good of that flag, just as these are good soldiers of this flag, because they have faith in the ones for whom they are defending and serving. And then as we go on, we have another word that comes to mind here. When you follow the flag of the United States of America, you must have complete commitment in your country. You must have 100% dedication that you love your country enough to defend it. If you go in with a 99% commitment to follow that flag and to defend your country, that is not enough, because that 1% that you don't have could get you killed. You have to have complete commitment to follow that flag and to defend this country and to be proud of it. Same as this flag right here. You have to have 100% commitment to follow the Christ of this flag. That's where the problems are in our country and all over the world today. People don't have 100% commitment. You can't follow Jesus Christ with 95% commitment. It means that somewhere along the line you're going to miss an opportunity, or somewhere along the line your light's not going to shine as it should, or somewhere along the line you're going to say something you shouldn't have, or somewhere along the line you're not going to stand up for him when you should have, and then you haven't represented him with complete commitment. To be good soldiers of both these flags, and of course to be the good soldier that we're talking about in our passage of Scripture today in 2 Timothy, you must have complete commitment. And sometimes when you don't have complete commitment, it requires discipline. You veterans today of the service, you know what happens if you don't have complete commitment. You know what will happen to you. You may end up in the brig or kicked out of the service or punished in some way because you didn't have complete commitment to it. And so it is with this. Sometimes the Lord has to get our attention to remind us, hey, you're not following me completely and 100% as you should. Then, as you follow these two flags, you must have complete obedience. When you follow the flag of the United States of America and you serve in the armed forces, you better believe you're going to obey the commands that are given you. When the sergeant barks at you or the drill instructor or the captain or whoever, you obey them because you know what's going to happen to you if you don't obey them. You are going to be punished in some way or another. Again, whether it be in the brig or whether it be kicked out or whatever, court-martialed, whatever, you must have complete obedience to be a good soldier of that cross. I keep seeing the cross on the flag, and makes me think so much of it. And in fact, the flag does stand for Christ and the cross. For this flag, you must have complete obedience. You obey the things that are written in God's holy word. The things that are very plain, the things that tell you how to be a good Christian, the things that tell you how to live for Him, the things that tell you how to be a good witness, the things that tells you what you should do and shouldn't do, and how you should worship, and the things you should be doing when you worship, and reading His Word and praying. All those things are obedience to His holy Word. And you must have obedience to follow this and be a good soldier of the flag of the Christian. Because if you're not a good soldier and you're not being obedient, again, I'm telling you, it's going to show up somewhere and it's going to hurt your witness. It's going to hurt the witness of the church. It's going to hurt your relationship with the Lord. And of course, that means that that's not good for any of us, but especially it's a poor representation of the Savior who gave His life for you. And finally, you must have, and I think this sums it up all, complete devotion. Just as you are in the Army or the Navy or the Air Force or the Marines or the Coast Guards or whatever, you must be devoted to them. If you're not devoted to them, it's going to show up. And they're going to either punish you for it or again kick you out, or in some way let you know that they do not appreciate the fact that you joined that service without complete devotion to defend that flag and to defend your country. And if you're not going to do that, then they don't want you. And you might as well not join because you don't have that complete devotion. And by the way, complete devotion is earnest attachment to a cause, to a person. It is profound dedication, especially to consecration and religion. Now, here, the same thing. You must have complete devotion to your Savior and to the kingdom for who He stands for. You must have complete devotion to His Word. You must have complete devotion to pray to Him and develop that relationship to grow better and better and better each day. We're told in 1 Chronicles 29:5, "Now then, who will follow my example? Who will give himself and all, listen, all that he has to the Lord?" We're told to love the Lord with all our hearts and all our minds and all our soul, all that we are, to give complete devotion to Him, as we should indeed hear the things said about both these flags, and to be good soldiers of them, you should have good devotion. So if you follow this flag voluntarily, and you follow it faithfully, and you follow it with complete dedication and commitment and devotion, when you're finished following that flag and you're out of the service, you can be proud that as a good soldier, you are now a good veteran of the United States Armed Services, whichever you were in. The same thing for this one. When you follow this flag and the Savior for who it stands for and His holy word, as you follow that and get to the end of your life and you have had complete devotion to it, complete faithfulness to it, complete dedication to it, you have followed it voluntarily, and you have trusted it and had faith in it, then you will lead this life as a veteran of the cross, because you were a good soldier of the cross. One day I looked at myself, at the self that Christ can see. I saw the person I am today and the one I ought to be. I saw how little I really pray and how little I really do. I saw the influence of my life, how little of it was true. I saw the bundle of faults and fears I ought to lay on the shelf. I had given a little bit to God, but I hadn't given myself. I came from seeing myself with my mind made up to be the sort of person that Christ can use with a heart he can always see. To be a true spiritual veteran, you must be a true soldier of the cross, completely devoted to the service of our Lord Jesus Christ. So to become true veterans of the cross, we must first be good soldiers of the cross. May the Lord on this Veterans Day Sunday make us all truly spiritual veterans. As we close our service today, we're going to stand and sing a song that you should have the words to there that the ushers gave you, God Bless America, which will be followed by Taps. We ask you all to stand and to remember this is very respectful, especially this end of the service. So please remember to sing today with all your heart, God Bless This Wonderful Country. And then may we stand in quietness as we listen to Taps. May we stand.